13 verses in chapter 26 of Matthew. If you'll open your Bibles to chapter 26 of Matthew, we'll read our text and then we'll pray. The same story we read for the scripture reading, just Matthew's account. Chapter 26, beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." And when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Heavenly Father, we do look to you, and we ask that you would minister here today. We pray that you would touch. We pray that you would speak your word to our hearts, that you bless this time. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that this is a very special story, a story of Mary's encounter with Jesus. Now, this isn't Mary, the mother of Jesus. This isn't, though the Catholic tradition teaches us this is Mary Magdalene, I believe this is another Mary. For the Bible, the Bible identifies her in the book of John in chapter 11 as Mary, the sister of Martha, Mary, the sister of Lazarus. You could call her Mary of Bethany. This woman and her encounter with Jesus here, a very special story. And I want to look at three things as we see this story, because she had, for her bringing this costly oil and anointing Jesus, there was three things that we can see in this story that happened as a result of that. One is, she was condemned by some and said, "That is a waste. That is a waste." We're going to look at why they said that. And then we see another thing Jesus said. "No, that was a good work." Jesus paying her a compliment. Jesus didn't pay too many compliments to too many people in Scripture. But he made a point to say, "That is right and that is good." So we're going to look at why he said that. And finally, this verse in 13, he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." This special promise Jesus gives, that this will be preached in the whole world, her story. And I think that this story, this encounter of Mary with Jesus, offers us a picture and an example of how we are to respond to the gospel, of how we are to approach Jesus. A very special picture and example. And we're going to look at that this morning as we look at this special encounter between Mary and Jesus. I'd like to address something real quick before we jump in. For those of you that were paying close attention, you might have noticed that in the scripture reading, when we read the account in John, it said that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus had a meal in Bethany. Then we read here in verse 2 of Matthew, Jesus says, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover." We have here a confusing and almost apparent contradiction in Scripture. What do you do when you come across these things? You don't be afraid. You don't ignore it. But you keep learning, you keep looking into it, holding on to the reality that God's Word is true, that God's Word is a reality, that God's Word is infallible. It is God's Word. So we're not afraid of apparent contradictions, but we look into them, we study them, We ask the Lord to reveal the truth. Now, I believe why Matthew and Mark place this story here is very important. That's why I'm going to point it out. I believe this meal took place 6 days before the Passover. And that's what John said. Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, went to Bethany and had a meal. But both Matthew and Mark choose to not put this story in chronological order for a reason, on purpose. You ever watch a movie and there's a scene in the movie that's not in chronological order? Like you think about Jesus in the Passion of the Christ, how they show him with his on the cross being crucified. And then he'll, in his mind, go back to a few days ago when he was with his disciples. And the scene will flash over to another story. Or he'll think back in his mind when he was a little boy, and there'll be a scene in the movie of when he was a little boy. Now, Mel Gibson, when he was putting the movie together, wasn't trying to put all of those scenes in perfect chronological order. But he was connecting those scenes for a purpose to different things that were happening at his crucifixion and when he was whipped. And that's what I think both Matthew and Mark do. There's an account of this story in Mark chapter 14. And look again in the first couple of verses. It says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified.'" Matthew is telling us that Jesus predicted his death specifically 2 days before he was crucified. He says, in 2 days there's going to be a Passover, and I will be crucified. Very specific, predicting his death 2 days before the Passover. Then, look down in verse 6. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper..." It doesn't say that on the same day Jesus was in Bethany. But rather Matthew's saying Jesus predicted his own death 2 days before it happened. And the Pharisees were plotting it 2 days before it happened. Now back when Jesus was in Bethany, Mary anointed him for his burial. You see, the connection Matthew and Mark are trying to make is that this encounter and story was very much connected to the fact that it was just a couple of days away from Jesus being crucified. 6 days. Now, if Matthew and Mark would have put it in chronological order, it could have been lost in its connection with this. If this was 4 or 5 chapters ago, we might have not been as connected to the fact that Jesus was going to be crucified in a couple of days, in a few days. 5, 6 days. So just to address that real quick, for the point that it was connected to his crucifixion. Now let's get into the story and see why the disciples of all people condemned Mary and said, "That is a waste." And at the same time, Jesus said, "No, that is a good thing. That is a good work." Why? And why this story is such a good example for us of how to approach Jesus. The first thing I'd like to see here in this encounter is Mary's urgency. She was urgent. She had this flask of very expensive oil, this alabaster jar or box. And she couldn't wait. She couldn't wait till everybody left. She couldn't wait till after the meal. She couldn't wait till tomorrow. She couldn't wait till next time. She had to anoint Jesus right then. She had to. And she was very urgent. And we see that. That's what makes her stand out in this story. One of the things, her urgency. And that's exactly why she was condemned and why they said it was a waste. If she would have waited till everybody left, they wouldn't have condemned her. If she would have waited till after Jesus died, if she was with the other women that went to the tomb on the third day to anoint Jesus' body, she wouldn't have been condemned. No one condemned them as they went with their costly oil to anoint the body of Jesus. No one said, "That's a waste." No, that was fine then. But it was Mary's urgency that got her in trouble. It was the fact that Mary had to do it then and interrupt the whole meal, and she couldn't wait, that prompted the disciples to say, "That is a waste. That is wrong." But that was the very thing that Jesus liked about it. As he said, "Oh no, this is a good thing. This is for my burial. This is a very special thing." We find that, I believe that this was Mary's last chance to anoint Jesus. As here he was in Bethany, he was going to leave and go to Jerusalem and never come back to Bethany. He was going to be crucified in a matter of days. And this was her last chance. I don't know if she knew that. Even the women that went to Jesus after he died to anoint his body never got the chance, for he already had risen. You know, only Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus anointed the body of Jesus besides Mary. But Jesus said, no, this is a very good thing. This is very special. And the fact that Mary couldn't wait makes it special. And I like it. And of all the 12 disciples, out of Lazarus and Martha, Lazarus just got raised from the dead. Out of everybody at that dinner, Mary was the most urgent in her worship of the Lord. And Jesus liked that. So how is that an example for us? As we come before Jesus, with everything we have of value, and we pour it at Jesus' feet, we pour it on Jesus, we can learn from Mary to be urgent, to respond to God in the here and now, today. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. God always calls out to us and calls us to respond immediately in the here and now, in the today. The Bible says in Hebrews, let us exhort one another while it's still called today. Don't wait. The reality, as Jesus calls out to you, prompts you to obey him, as the opportunity arises for you to worship Jesus, it may be your last opportunity. You may not be able to go back and do that again. Mary taking advantage of the opportunity to anoint Jesus, and it was her last opportunity. I think of a story in my life. When I was young, in high school, I went and visited a friend in Kentucky. And he went to a Christian school, and I spent a couple days with him. And I think about this a lot. It's a regret I have. I went to school with him, and at this school, they had devotions every day that were student-led. The students had an opportunity to share something every day in chapel. And I was there on the first day, and the teacher asked the class, is there anybody that would like to volunteer to do devotions tomorrow? And I knew that God wanted me to volunteer. I knew it. And I didn't. I was afraid. I thought maybe next time. Not now. And there wasn't a next time. And the next day someone else did the devotion and I left. Never been to the school since. But that's a regret I have. I can't go back and do devotions now. But the point here, we can learn from Mary the urgency. If she wouldn't have poured that oil on Jesus' body, she would have regretted it greatly. Never could she have made up for it, gone back. She had a special opportunity, and something about it, she was in tune with something going on special. Jesus was going to be crucified in a matter of 6 days. And something about her knew that she had to do it, and she had to do it then. And she teaches us urgency. As Jesus calls out to us, we can learn from Mary to come urgently before him, to respond today. You know, there's a place and a time to wait. Sometimes it's right to wait, to be patient. But that place and time is not at the feet of Jesus. It's not in obedience to Jesus. It's not in responding to Jesus. That's not a time to wait and to be patient. That's a time for urgency. And we learn that from Mary here, as she is urgent. You know, those lies that keep us from responding immediately, maybe next time, later, not now, not this time. Mary shows us how to answer those lies and to respond urgently to Christ. We may not get another opportunity. The second thing I want to look at in this encounter between Mary and Jesus is that she was undignified as she went before the Lord. In your mind, picture this scene. Here, a bunch of people eating. It's a dinner. A lot of people talking. A lot of different people there. And then Mary coming in the room, interrupting the meal, pouring this oil everywhere, on his head, on his feet. And the scent fills the room, and everybody's attention is on Mary. And it's not a flattering attention. Everybody's, what is she doing? And she didn't care that she was making a scene. She didn't care that it didn't look good. She didn't mind being undignified in her approach to Jesus. And that's exactly what those that condemned her pointed out. You see, if Mary would have come maybe with an entourage and anointed Jesus in some formal way, "I do this for thy burial," the disciples probably would have been okay with that, if she was more proper in the way she did it. She didn't care about being proper. That's what the disciples didn't like. That's what those who condemned her didn't like. That's a waste. You're just throwing the oil all over the place, you know, crying all over the place, wiping it up with your hair. That is a waste. We could have used this in a better way. But that was exactly what Jesus liked about it. Notice what Jesus says about this. He says, "She did it for me." She didn't do it for you. She didn't do it to put on a show, to come off all proper and nice, to present some image of herself. Oh, wow, she really loves the Lord. Jesus said, "She did it for me." And she did it in an undignified way. And out of everybody there, all 12 disciples were there. Peter, John, James, Lazarus. She, out of all of them, was the most undignified in her worship, willing to fall at Jesus' feet, cry out, wipe his feet with her hair. How undignified, and yet how special. Jesus says, that's a good thing. That's a good work. That's right. And we can learn from her example as we come before Jesus. The Bible over and over again teaches us to be humble and to come before him humbly. Do you know that you need Jesus? You need him. And you should come before him with that in mind, not caring what people think. There's the story of David as he danced before the Ark of the Covenant. Michal looked at him and she despised it. Look at him showing off for all the young servant girls. David came up to meet her and she condemned him. And David said, "I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own eyes." Here the king of Israel saying, "I don't care what I look like. I'll act like a servant. I'll act like I don't care. I'll be humble in my own eyes, and I'll be more undignified even than this." And that was right. That was good. He wasn't dancing for the young girls. He was dancing for God, the Bible teaches us. So we learn from Mary as we approach Jesus to be undignified. You know those lies that we hear in our head? What will people say? What will people think? Mary shows us how to answer those lies as she comes before Jesus in an undignified way. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that the fear of man brings a snare. If we worry about what people are going to think and say, that'll mess us up and entrap us and keep us from doing the right thing. Quickly, you can turn if you'd like to Philippians. You don't have to. I'd like to see another example of being undignified. You'll never believe who it is. Maybe some of you will. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You think, are you going to tell me that Jesus was undignified? Yes. Look at this in verse 6. "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, and he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Think about Jesus and how undignified he was, sitting on the throne as the creator of the universe, and saying, "I'm going to bow down, I'm going to become a puny little man, like a servant. I'm going to wash people's feet, I'm going to get dirty, and I'm going to be crucified like a criminal." How undignified for the creator of the universe. And Paul tells us, have the same mind in you. And we're taught in Scripture to come before the Lord humbly. And doesn't matter what people think, be undignified in our approach to Jesus. You know, there is a time and a place to have manners and to represent family or Christ in a proper way. But that time and place is not at the feet of Jesus. It's not in obedience to Jesus. We don't second guess when Jesus tells us, go over there, But what is that going to look like, Jesus? I don't think so. No. No matter what it looks like, no matter what people say, Mary, no one was going to stop Mary from anointing Jesus. She was undignified. No image. She didn't look cool. But she gives an example for us how to approach Jesus. Thirdly, we see something else about Mary that made her stand out from everybody else here. She was unrestrained. She was unrestrained. She had this bottle, and these alabaster bottles were made without a top. They were made to break. You couldn't get to the perfume unless you break them. And here she broke the whole bottle and poured the whole thing out on Jesus. And Judas said, you know, we could have sold that for 300 denarii. That's a lot of money. In one of the parables, Jesus says that the workers got one denarii for a day's wage. 300 days of work. You know, some people, one of the commentators said this is probably about a year's wage. That's a lot of money. Some people drive a car that's about a year's wage. Could you imagine someone saying, I'm going to push my brand new car off the cliff for Jesus? You'd be the same way. That's a waste. You can see why the disciples said, you know, you're doing too much. You're pouring too much. And if Mary would have just poured some of the oil, they probably would have been okay with that. They probably would have said, well, you know, it's a special time, okay. Or if Mary chose a less expensive perfume, you know, she just got something that was a little more common, they would have been okay with that. They wouldn't have condemned her. They wouldn't have said, that's a waste. But that's the exact thing that Jesus said made it good and made it so special. She was unrestrained. She broke and poured out before Jesus everything she had of value. The most prized possession she had, she broke and poured out before Jesus. Unrestrained, extravagantly, pouring out all of it on Jesus. They condemned her, but he said, no, this is a good thing. And out of everybody there, the 12 disciples, again, John, Peter, Lazarus, everybody sitting there, she, out of everyone, was the most unrestrained in her worship of Jesus. And Jesus says, that's good. That's right. She was unrestrained in what she gave. The Bible teaches us this, as we see this as a picture and an example for us. Remember, we, a few weeks ago, looked in Matthew chapter 22 as Jesus was asked the greatest commandment. What did he say was the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might. The Bible teaches us as we worship God not to give him part, but to be unrestrained and give him all. Jesus said in another place in Matthew chapter 10, he says, he who does not love me more than his mother and father and brother and sister is not worthy of me. He says, he who does not lay down his whole life, pick up his cross, is not worthy of me. Now, this is some pretty radical, crazy stuff. You know, the saying, it's either all or nothing at all. That seems like that's just kind of way out there. That's too much. And we have an example of this as Jesus has a compliment for this woman who pours out just a whole year's wage out on Jesus' feet, just like that, poured out. And everyone says it's wasted. But he says she gave everything, and it was right. She was unrestrained in her worship. And you know, there's a place in life for being restrained, for only giving out so much, for testing the waters, for being careful. But that time and place is not at the feet of Jesus. It's not in obedience to him, and it's not in worshiping Jesus. As we're taught in this example to be unrestrained, extravagant in our worship of Jesus, as we come before him, we obey him, we respond to him. One other thing I'd like to look at in this encounter and story. I was trying to stay with the theme of the you, the words that begin with you, so I came up with this word. Mary was unequivocal. I didn't really understand what it meant either. But the dictionary says, for unequivocal, having only one possible meaning or interpretation, unambiguous, clear, and absolute. See, Mary could have been urgent. She could have been undignified and unrestrained, and then she could have still had some hesitation. She could have walked into that room and she could have kind of been looking around. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this. She could have been like with the bottle. I don't know if I really want to do this, but I'm going to. She could have kind of like been waiting for people's response. But that wasn't Mary. She made a decision and there was nothing stopping her. She was sure that's what she wanted to do. She had no hesitation. And it was very clear to everybody what she wanted to do and what she was doing. She was unequivocal in her worship of Jesus. And that's what they didn't like about her as they condemned her. They said, that's a waste. See, if she was a little more hesitant, maybe they could have stopped her. Hold on, don't pour the whole thing. But she wasn't being stopped. And Jesus liked that. She was completely without hesitation. She made a choice and she was intentional in her worship of God. Jesus says, that's a good thing. That's a right thing. And out of everybody there at the dinner, she knew exactly what she wanted to do, and she did it. This is an example for us. Joshua told the people of Israel once, he said, choose this day who you will serve. The Bible encourages us, make a choice. Do you want to serve Jesus? Is there someone else you want to go serve? You want to live your life for something else, or do you want to live your life for Jesus? Make a choice today. And follow through and go forward without hesitation. Elijah said, how long will you, to the people of Israel, falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, go ahead, serve Him. And we have an example here of Mary to be unequivocal, to be intentional in our choice, absolute, without hesitation, of who we're going to serve and worship. The Bible says in John, as Jesus spoke to those that followed Him, some turned away and left. And He looked at His disciples and said, do you want to turn away? Do you want to leave also? His disciples said, where else can we go? For you have the words of life. You know, we're taught not to have any backup plans as we serve Jesus. It's not like, well, I'm going to live my life for Jesus, but if it don't work out, I can always, you know, get that job or go there or do that. Instead, the disciples didn't have a backup plan, and neither did Mary. She didn't have any other idea what she was going to do with that perfume. She already knew what she wanted to do with that perfume. She already knew who her Savior was, and she would worship Him unequivocally. What if it doesn't work out? Mary didn't have that question on her mind. She modeled for us. And again, there is a time and a place to have restraint, to be hesitant, to be patient before you make an absolute choice. But that time and place is not at the feet of Jesus, is not in relation to Jesus and obedience to Him. I want to look at one verse in Mark's account of this story. We're almost done here. Mark 14, you can turn there if you want. You don't have to. Jesus said of Mary after she did this, He said in verse 8 of chapter 14, she has done what she could. That was the summary, Jesus said. She did what she could. And you know, if we learn from this example of Mary and we come before the Lord with everything we have of value and we just pour out our lives at Jesus' feet, we just give it, lay it all down before Him. And we come here today, now, urgently, in the today, in this moment. And we come before Him undignified, and we don't care what people think. And we come before Him unrestrained. We don't hold anything back. We give Him all of our lives. And we come before Him unequivocally, making a choice, an absolute decision, that He will be our Lord. That is all we can do. That's why it's a good thing. That's why Jesus said that is a good thing, because she did that day everything she could. Jesus said she did exactly what she could. That's all God wants for us. He wants us to do everything we can now, no matter what people think, with everything we are, in a resolute way. Please stand. As we close, I have just four questions for us. One is there anybody here waiting? You're waiting to obey God. You're waiting to really serve Him or do what you know He wants you to. You're holding back and you're being patient and you're saying to yourself, not now. Later. Maybe next time. But not now. Oh, I urge us all to learn from Mary today an urgency in our relationship with Jesus. Don't wait. This may be your last opportunity to do whatever He's prompting you to. Is anybody here holding back because they're worried about what someone else thinks, what someone else will say? Oh, that we would learn from Mary today to be undignified, put everybody else's opinion aside for the sake of Jesus. Is anybody here holding back from God? Saying, I don't know if I can give up everything. What if it doesn't work out? There's just this one thing that I want to hold on to. Oh, let us learn from Mary to break it out. Break the bottle, pour everything out before Jesus. Do not let anything remain and give Him our all. That is what He's worthy of and that is what He requires. And then finally, does anybody here have a backup plan of what else you could do in life? If it doesn't work out? If you decide to maybe not give Jesus everything. Let us learn from Mary to be unequivocal, unambiguous. Bob Duco likes that word a lot. To be resolute and absolute in our choice to worship God, to serve God as Lord. Let us learn these lessons from Mary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this beautiful picture of true worship and surrender. I pray that You'd open our hearts and that You touch us and speak to us and convict us today. That You change our hearts. I pray that You'd help us to be like Mary in our relationship with You, in our encounter with You, our worship of You. We come before Your feet today and we desire to be pleasing. And Father, You see us and You see those of us that truly want to do what we can. Today, everything we can. We need Your help. And we thank You and we praise You. We pray all this in Jesus' name.